Mitchell Schwartzer is an architectural and urban historian who serves as professor of visual studies at California College of the Arts in Oakland and San Francisco. He has also taught at the University of Illinois at Chicago and the Rhode Island School of Design. Mitchell edited Design Book Review from 1999 to 2001, and his own books include Architecture of the San Francisco Bay Area, History and Guide. I learned a lot just from talking to Mitchell about the forum and what he might talk about, so I'm very much looking forward to what he has to say. Mitchell Schwartzer, welcome.
Okay, you all hear me, right? Thank you for having me here. It's a real pleasure. Thanks to Donlin and Jackie and the hosts where we're staying, Jim Orenberg and Jane Seck. It's great to be here. I'd like to talk today about two words, community and resort, and somehow, by the end of my talk, try to bring them closer together within the context of Sea Ranch in particular. By community, I am referring to the act of creating a new social arrangement in a new place. And this is, I think, kind of one of the intrinsic activities that has faced people coming to this continent ever, you know, the settlers of the continent ever since the Spanish and the English and others arrived in North America. How do we create a new world here? You know, people were fleeing persecution for religious reasons. People were coming here for economic reasons, and they were trying to establish a new way of living amongst each other, a community. They were also, I would say, for the large part of that history, basing that idea of community upon economics, upon how are we going to make a living. And farming was the first. Farming, hunting for furs, mining were the first kinds of activities that Americans engaged in this community building process, followed by the establishment of larger cities, industrialization. And I think the word resort comes in to community when resort becomes, and by resort I'm referring to a lot of the kind of comments that Donlin was making, a place where one goes not to make a living, a place where one goes not to kind of profit from the land in a kind of stark economic sense, but a place where one goes to actually develop a sense of community in relationship to land and people. And I think that's where I'd like to head toward. In starting off, I just wanted to say, you know, I was thinking, how am I going to approach this topic? And I looked at various angles. One angle was history, to look at the region and the history of the region as it developed during the late 19th and 20th century as an agricultural zone and as a place of farming and development of barns and the like. Another angle I thought of was to look back to the contemporary period when Sea Ranch was being planned, the environment of the counterculture in Northern California. This is a shot of the Morning Star Commune in Sonoma County and the Wheeler Ranch, another commune established in Sonoma County, both a little bit after Sea Ranch, but they were being planned through the middle 1960s. I also thought about looking at Sea Ranch through an architectural community and a place where this is the Weissenhof architectural demonstration housing in Stuttgart, Germany, that was built in the 1920s. And most of your famous modernist architects have, you know, there's a Le Corbusier, there's a Gropius, there's a Mies, etc. This was a place to bring architects together to establish a sense of architectural community through the development of new creative ideas in design. And then I looked at a complex that postdates Sea Ranch by a few years, which is Seaside in Florida. And this kind of is more of the focus that I'd like to talk about, the background to places like Sea Ranch and to places like Seaside, which is the resort angle. Okay, and Seaside is obviously a lot, it developed during the 1980s, a lot different than Sea Ranch, a much smaller site, a very different land set of landforms, but at the same time, some very strong similarities. Master plan community, a set of strict guidelines on how architecture was to be designed and what kind of architectural impressions people were to get from the place. So let's go back a little to talk about how did resort come into conjunction with community. We really don't have a concept of resort communities until the middle part of the 20th century. And this is a photograph of a famous resort hotel in California, the it's the Del Monte Hotel. It's no longer there. It was down by Monterey. It was like the Coronado Hotel in San Diego. It was part of 1880s, part of the era of building grand hotels. This hotel, contained outside of it a racetrack, a polo field, a golf course, manicured gardens, a whole set of activities. And the resort hotel, I think, is the kind of genesis for the resort community, because resort hotels were places people went, often for long periods of time, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months, and where they engaged in activities that were distinct from their everyday lives. They learned how to resort or recreate. And, at a place like this in the 19th century, recreating meant getting dressed up for 4 o'clock tea. It meant going to formal dinners. It meant taking walks, through the gardens. And then it meant an escalating number of activities, like watching horses run and making bets on them and swimming and golfing and the like. The resort hotel is the outgrowth of hotels in resort areas that started all the way back in the late 18th century and really developed through the 19th century. First, not to recreate. The reason people went originally to resort hotels was to actually go to improve your health, it was a hygienic idea that if you were in a place with great wind and good air, you would get healthier. That if you're in a place with mineral waters, you could get healthier. So the origins of the idea, and I think this will actually turn around to Sea Ranch somewhat, were very much connected to the idea of bettering oneself through a healthy atmosphere that could only be obtained in rural areas. So that was the original impetus. By the time you get to the 19th century, these places are getting much more complex. And another big development has happened in the early 19th century, which I think is fundamental for Sea Ranch. The Romantic movement in both Germany and particularly in England, where for the first time there's a desire now to go to natural places as a way of uplifting oneself, that by going to the mountains and climbing into the snow zone, you can actually realize new aspects of your humanity. By going deep into caves, by hiking through forests, and this is what the Romantics were doing through the late 18th and early part of the 19th century. They were developing a rapport with nature, and in particular, they really developed the kind of criteria or the aesthetics of what does it mean to look at a view and enjoy a view and contemplate a landscape. These are things people really never did before or thought about before. I would say during that whole period of community building in America, from agriculture into industry, land is really seen as something you make your living from, you profit from, but you don't contemplate it in a kind of disinterested way. It took the development of romantic aesthetics to give us a sense of, well, we can actually develop ourselves as humans by contemplating the land in a new kind of way. Another real big aspect, in around the middle part of the 20th century, there's a couple of developments, I think, that start to coalesce that take the resort hotel into the resort community. One is a general increase in affluence. The United States enjoys an amazing affluence after the Second World War. To give you one example, 40% of the world economy was in the United States in 1945. 40%. Because all the other major countries had been, industrial powers had basically been destroyed or totally fatigued by the war. So there's this incredible wealth. Now we're down to 20%, by the way, about 19 or 20. So it accounts for a lot of the transitions that have happened since the war. But this is an extremely wealthy country and people are having more money, they're having more leisure, desire for non-work activities, and they also have the means to get to them because we're building highways, like we never did before after the Second World War, ways to get to nature the way in the, you know, the 19th century you would have gotten to nature by rail. Now you can get to nature by automobile. And this is a shot of Hawaii, the Ka'anapali Beach, that was the whole stretch, 2.5 mile stretch of beach coast in on the island of Maui was taken by a single company and designed as a series of resort hotels. This is still a resort hotel, but I show the image because these were resort hotels that were designed from a master plan. They were each had the same, about a 10-acre lot, so there are about 12 10-acre lots arranged along the beach, and each of them designed all of their improvements and services, the hotel, the rapport with the beach, in a kind of coordinated fashion. So what you get after the after the Second World War and by the 1950s and afterward is the coming together of this possibility, well, we can get to these places by air travel, by automotive travel, and because of the affluence, you get a new phenomenon, middle-class ownership of second homes, which was really minuscule up until this point. And it goes from some 150,000 Americans owned second homes, you know, in the 1920s, to 2.5 million, 3 million by the 70s and 1980s. So second home ownership becomes a phenomenon in America, and the confluence of the hotel and second home ownership develop, I think, the key ingredients for what becomes a resort community. One of the first important resort communities is the Sea Pines Plantation in South Carolina, which is a similar size. I think it's about 4,200 acres in South Carolina. Built a single company like Oceanic, took the property, developed a master plan, and created here you can see there's a town center and marina. It's built on the coastline, so there was an attention to protecting the coastline and not building houses right on the coastline at Sea Pines. They did, however, build a golf course right on the coastline, so it's a little bit different. But here's a view of the planning, and the idea was to take the entire site and preserve most of it as nature, to cluster the houses in certain zones, to create that town center and marina, to have the golf course wrap mostly away from the water, and preserve large areas of marshes and forest land within the community. So this is a place that it contains actually, there is lodging, but it's mostly second homes, condominiums, and single family homes, 1958. So it's a little bit earlier than Sea Ranch. And what I wanted to talk about in a little more depth were two communities in particular, in California. This is this is leading up to that. This is the Smoke Tree Ranch down in, it's in Palm Springs, 1938. And it's the first, it's a planned community of homes, single family homes, about 80 acres. And one of the guidelines, there's a set of design guidelines that you had to build your homes within a desert landscape, that you couldn't just eradicate the desert landscape and put in a different landscape, that you would want to live in the landscape as it had existed for a long time. Walt Disney had a home here and a lot of other celebrities. It became a kind of a famous resort. And it led up to one of the two, what I think, critical predecessors of Sea Ranch. One is the Thunderbird Country Club, which was the first, I would say, golf course community in the United States, like a community designed around a golf course. So very different than Sea Ranch, but still a kind of parallel development. The idea that you'll have a community, in fact, you see the estate sites, and here's a view of the hotel. This is like the club and restaurant designed by William Cody. So there were architects involved in the design of the Thunderbird Country Club. This is where the car comes from, the Thunderbird car. This is where they invented the golf cart. It's very different than Sea Ranch. This way they had the Bob Hope Classic. In fact, Bob Hope had a home here, Bing Crosby had a home, Lucy and Desi had a home here. So this is very much about celebrity. But it's the first. It's the first 18-hole golf course community in California. I think one of the first anywhere. Because the homes, the sale of the lots, financed the golf course. So there was a real estate formula that was developed here. There are now 97 golf course communities in the Coachella Valley alone. Just that big zone from Palm Springs out to Rancho Mirage. 97 of these communities. This is the first one. And the idea was here that you could, how do you create a community? Well, the idea was you create a community by bringing people together around common interests. And the common interests here, there's a wonderful swimming pool, and there's this great golf course. And this is a view of, you know, this is the kind of house you would have. You'd have a house on the golf course, and you'd look out at the golf course. And in fact, you know, in reading accounts of it, people love to talk about how they would stop at their own house and have drinks during their game and then continue on. And this is just wonderful. You know, they just love doing this. Here's another view of the golf course, and that's actually a view from Gerald Ford's home, because Gerald Ford, ex-president, bought a home at Thunderbird, and, you know, because this is a place, you know, where people bought homes there of his stature. And he, you know, there's his little chairs, and you just look out at the golf course. You look out at this created environment. And I think one of the similarities of Thunderbird to Sea Ranch, in addition to the home ownership, in addition to finding a community, was figuring out a way to shape land in relationship to that community. The shaping of the golf course, and then the other example I'd like to show you is Squaw Valley, 1960 Olympics, which inaugurates, you know, an amazing thing, right? Olympics in California in a town that was, there's no town even. It was just a small, tiny ski resort in 1955 when it was chosen over Innsbruck and St. Moritz, which is kind of amazing. And here's one image of it. And what resulted around Squaw Valley were the creation of ski resort communities. And this is one of them. This is the first condominium ski resort community in the world, in the United States. It's called Tahoe Tavern. It was designed by Henrik Bull, who's a noted Northern California architect. And it contains a lot of the kind of key elements, you know, the set of tennis courts, a pool, and then clustered complexes. It's, again, the idea of a master plan for an entire community, in this case, bringing people together around skiing up at Tahoe, but then in the summertime, recreating along the lake. And there's a shot of some of the condominiums along Lake Tahoe. So the idea of having a golf course community, a ski ranch community, a ski community, what are the elements, okay? What will bring people to a place? Like, they're not going to be moving to this place to make money or to get a job. They're moving to this place perhaps to retire, or perhaps as a second home. What will bring them there? How will they develop a community together? And I would say, if you look at resort communities around the world, they really follow these models. They really follow the model of intense recreation. You have a lot of recreational activities, golf courses, swimming pools, tennis courts, a lake to swim, ideally, in the case of Tahoe, a ski resort. And then this is one shot of some of the houses that Henrik Bull did. This is the Knossen House he designed for one of the developers of Squaw Valley. I won't go into the details, but there's a lot of similarities, too, in the attention to how do you design a house in ski country, very much like what Donlin was talking about, how do you design a house on the California coast. And there's a shot of Sea Ranch. Now, what makes Sea Ranch different? Obviously, I right away, there is a golf course. There's a little view of the golf course. And, you know, from what I've heard, it started in the 70s as a 9-hole course and didn't become an 18-hole course until the 90s, the mid-1990s. So obviously golf was not luring people here. There are a couple of swimming pools. We had seen some shots of one. Here's the one right next to us. But the swimming, you know, were people coming here primarily for swimming? Probably not, given the temperatures and the winds, which we still haven't experienced. Here's a view of Larry Halpern's plan. And what I would argue, and what I'd like to close in my closing comments I'd like to make, is that I think what brought people to Sea Ranch, and here's one of the hedgerow houses, the idea of looking at the houses from the meadow, as we heard earlier, and then the view from the house of both the meadows and the ocean. I think it's this idea of aesthetic contemplation. The idea that Sea Ranch almost intentionally has very little to do. It's not a place you're showered with activities. I don't think there's a zip line here yet. So people are coming here. This is kind of what I would characterize it as, the kind of romantic resort community in that tradition of romantic aesthetics. People are coming here to find themselves and to relate to other people in a communal act of appreciating land and contemplating land. And in that act, I'd like to close with one. I was thinking, this must have been happening before. This Sea Ranch can't be the first place that people did this. And I thought back to one of my people who've inspired me my whole life, the composer Gustav Mahler. I lived in Austria, and I got to know lots of Austrians. And Austrians habitually, they live in a big city like Vienna, but they go to the country as often as they can. And Mahler was no exception. And this is, so we're talking over 100 years ago. This was his house on the Wörthersee, where he went and where he got a kind of a jolt, a kind of a creative invigoration. But yet he didn't compose in that building. He composed in these little sheds. And these are called Komponistenhäuser. These are composing houses. And they just basically fit a grand piano and a little else. And he wrote the 2nd, 3rd, 5th, 6th, 7th, 9th, and 10th symphonies in these three sheds. So this is where the genius happened for Mahler. It happened in these little buildings set in nature, and here's a view of one of the interiors. So that was one of his pianos, and there's Mahler up in the in one of those environments. There are three different environments within former Austria, and I think it was that going back and forth, that taking a hike in the mountains, that kind of breathing in the air, taking in those views, and then coming back into these small spaces alone in a quiet environment and creating great works of art. And my sense is that when you think about the development of a resort community, there's lots of options. One option is to be extremely busy to be very active physically. And I think Sea Ranch represents a different kind of option. And it's along these kind of lines. A lot of the people I've met since I've been here have been former professors, architects, artists, people who want to come here, have that rapport with nature, and then come back and make something by themselves of high value. So I think that's just a couple of remarks I have about what Sea Ranch might mean. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitchell.